हरे कृष्ण राधिका माता जी दंडवत प्रणाम श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। गुरु महाराज की जय। श्री श्यामा गौरी दास की प्रभु।
हरे कृष्ण श्यामा गौरी माता जी दानवत प्रणाम ऑल गोस्ट श्री शिल प्रभुपाद ऑल गोस्ट गुरु महाराज थैंक यू वेरी मच माता जी फॉर जॉइनिंग हरे कृष्ण वेलकम टू भक्ति संघा कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल टुडे वी आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हिज ग्रेस चैतन्य लीला प्रभु जी ऑन द टॉपिक श्रीमद भागवतम वर्स 4.29.8 दंडवत प्रणाम प्रभु जी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू शिल प्रभुपाद ऑल गोस्ट गुरु महाराज थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर गिविंग योर वेरी वैल्युएबल टाइम एंड एसोसिएशन टुवर्ड्स दिस मॉर्निंग एंड एनलाइटिंग ऑन दिस टॉपिक I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji and Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. I've been asked to speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Verse 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 टेक्स्ट 28 शुक्लात् प्रकाश भूयिष्ठा लोकान् आपनोति कर्हिचित् दुखोदरकान् क्रियायासां Translation and purport by Divine Grace Srila E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Those who are situated in the mode of goodness act piously according to Vedic injunctions. Thus, they are elevated to the higher planetary systems where the demigods live. Those who are influenced by the mode of passion engage in various types of productive activities in the planetary systems where human beings live. Similarly, those influenced by the mode of darkness are subjected to various types of misery and live in the animal kingdom. Therefore, there are three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. Those influenced by the mode of goodness are given places in the upper planetary system, Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, Tapoloka, Janaloka, and Maharloka. Those influenced by the mode of passion are given places in the Bhurloka and Bhuvarloka. Those influenced by the mode of ignorance are given places in Atala, Vitala, Sutal, Talatal, Mahatal, Rasatal, and Patal, or the animal kingdom. Qualitatively, the living entity is the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because of his forgetfulness, he gets different bodies in different planetary systems. At the present moment, human society is overly influenced by the mode of passion, and consequently, people are engaged in working in big factories. They forget how distressful it is to live in such places. In Bhagavad Gita, such activities are described as Ugra Karma, that is, distressful activities. Those who utilize the energies of the worker are called capitalists, and those who actually perform the work are called laborers. In actuality, they are both capitalists, and the workers are in the modes of passion and ignorance. The result is that there is always a distressful situation. In contrast to these men are those influenced by the mode of goodness, the Karmis and the Gyanis. The Karmis, under the direction of Vedic injunctions, try to elevate themselves to higher planetary systems. The Gyanis try to merge into the existence of Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Lord. In this way, all classes of living entities in various species of life are existing within this material world. This explains superior and inferior life forms within the material world. Om Jnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guravai Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्व पदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. So it's my great pleasure to be here amidst all of you and share some of my thoughts on the exalted subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'd like to take the permission and blessings of all the assembled devotees so that we can speak something on this exalted piece of literature and the beautiful purpose of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So this is a beautiful verse from the fourth canto where Sri Narad Muni is preaching to King Prachini Barhishab. And the current context, it's being described about the different modes of material nature. I'll also read the preceding two verses. I was asked to also just go through the verses 26 and 27. यदात्मानं अविज्ञाय भगवन्तं परं गुरुं पुरुषस्तु विसज्येत गुणेषु पृथक् प्रकृते स्वदृक् गुणाभिमानि सदा कर्माणि कुरुते वसः शुक्लं कृष्णं लोहितं वा यथा कर्माभिजायते. ट्रांसलेशन पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद. द लिविंग एंटिटी बाय नेचर हैज माइन्यूट इंडिपेंडेंस टू चूज हिज ओन गुड और बैड फॉर्च्यून बट व्हेन ही फॉरगेट्स हिज Supreme Master, the personality of Godhead, he gives himself up unto the modes of material nature. Being influenced by the modes of material nature, he identifies himself with the body and for the interest of the body becomes attached to various activities. Sometimes he is under the influence of the mode of ignorance, sometimes the mode of passion, and sometimes the mode of goodness. The living entity thus gets different types of bodies under the modes of material nature. Will not go through the purports, long purports, but in these beautiful verses, the journey of the living entity through the different modes of material nature is being described. Just like it is said, Brahmand Bhramite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Beej, that the living entity has been wandering through many, many different stages, many, many different modes of material nature, for the purpose of seeking pleasure. The Vedanta Sutra describes the nature of the living entity as Anandamayo Abhyasat. The living entity inherently has the nature of seeking pleasure, wanting to enjoy, Anandamayo Abhyasat. And in pursuit of this Ananda, in pursuit of this happiness, the living entity travels all over the material creation. And they said that, you know, this traveling, in due course of this traveling, the living entity also experiences many, many things. Now, all of us have experienced that even in this world that we live in, everyone loves to travel, right? Everyone loves to, you know, go on vacations. Everyone wants to go on trips. Of course, for the last many, many months, most of us are under lockdown and not being able to even get out of our own homes and temples. But inherently it is said that each of us like to travel. And that's the reason, like, even devotees, all of us as devotees love to go on yatras, right? And as devotees, I mean, the people outside, they may want to go to different scenic locations and different, you know, tourist spots. People in America may want to go to the Bahamas for the beautiful beaches. But, you know, devotees, they may want to go to Badrinath. So whether it is Bahamas or Badrinath, the desire of the living entity is to travel to different places, see different things and experience, you know, different kinds of, have different kinds of experiences, basically. So today we will have a look that, you know, this particular verse that we are discussing today describes the different destinations according to the different modes that the living entity is in. And what is it? What is it? What are those factors which ascertain the destination of a living being? What are those aspects which dictate what is going to be the destination of the living being? So, you know, just going through these last couple of verses and this particular verse, I could figure out that there are basically three factors which we'll be discussing in our discussion today. That three factors which decide what is going to be the destination of the living entity in the next juncture, in his journey in this material world. And these three factors that we'll be discussing today, factors or becomes a cause for deciding the destination of the living entity. The very first factor is the inherent desire of the living entity. What is that desire of the living entity? Based on the desire, the destination is ascertained. Just like if I desire to go to Badrinath, or if I desire to go to, you know, some other holy place, the initial thing begins with my desire. And then desire follows, you know, direction. Like someone, some person who may want to go to a tourist spot, you know. So naturally, he or she needs direction. He needs some information, how to proceed in that particular direction, how to proceed towards that destination. So along with desire, there is a need for direction. And along with direction, there is a need for a determined effort to make that preparation to advance towards the destination. So we'll discuss on these three aspects, that how the desire of the living entity, the direction that is sought by the living entity, and finally the determined effort or preparation of the living entity, how these factors play a significant role in deciding what's going to be the next course of action for the living being in this material world. So talking about the very first thing, desire, it is explained that, you know, desires are of two types. One is the short-term desires. The short-term desires may be just pertaining to, you know, what attire do I want to put on today, or what kind of clothes do I want to put on today. Or maybe another short-term desire could be, you know, what's the menu that I want to have today, or where do I want to go for a walk, or where do I want to go for a, you know, short trip. So these are just some short-term desires with the living entity feels that if I just have them, maybe I'll be very happy. But then there are the long-term desires as well, which we may also call as the dreams. You know, these dreams could be like, what would you like to be when you grow up? I mean, kids are asked in school, or even in the offices, people are asked, like, how do you want to see yourself, 10 years down the line? So, yes, talking about one's career, talking about one's, you know, dream home, talking about one's dream car, or maybe life partner, you know, all of these constitutes these long-term desires. But then when a person starts endeavoring to fulfill those desires, naturally he or she encounters problems. And it is these problems which forces him to rethink whether these desires are worth it. Because very soon the living entity realizes that the amount of endeavor that is required to fulfill one's, you know, desire, specifically the material desires we are talking about, whether it be short-term desires or the long-term desires, very soon the living entity starts, you know, wondering, are these desires worth the endeavor that is required to fulfill them? And therefore, it is said that desires change when we come across better alternatives. And this is for the very reason that they have, you know, all of these advertisements in huge quantities, or even in the movies, let's say, you know, these advertisements and movies, they try to present us with a better alternative. You know, look, here is a better alternative. If you can just get hold of this, maybe you will be more happier. You will be happier in your own life. And similarly, it is said that even for devotees, you know, even for people in general, when devotees approach them, you know, with a better alternative, that is how, you know, people also compare, and they find this process of Krishna consciousness to be, you know, really interesting, to be really something substantial. One of our devotees in the congregation here at Mumbai, he used to hear a lot of film songs. And this was way back, maybe some 30, 40 years back. And there was this very famous song that he had been hearing. And he started wondering, what was that song? The song said, "Aa chal ke tujhe main leke chalun ek aise gagan ke tale jahan gham bhi na ho aansu bhi na ho bas pyar hi pyar pale." And this devotee started wondering, you know, this really amazing kind of advertisement, this is amazing, you know, kind of proposal, that someone wants to take me to such a place where there is no misery, where there is you know, just abundance of love. And he started wondering, and he actually gave a serious thought to this. And could there be such a place? Does such a place actually exist? And he had been contemplating so deeply on this entire subject matter that Krishna seated within his heart. Actually, in the next few days, he just met some devotees, and devotees took him, brought him to the temple. And he experienced this entire place of, you know, something very, very different, the kind of interaction, the kind of atmosphere, something very different than it's present in the, you know, so-called, quote-unquote, the outside world, so to say. And that is how this devotee finally started chanting the holy names of the Lord, and, you know, became a very regular fixed-up practitioner of Krishna consciousness. So yes, devotees, definitely, they also advertise Krishna consciousness. We have the example of Narada Muni. Narada Muni bajaye bina Radhika Ramana name. Narada Muni keeps traveling all over the entire creation, singing the glories of Radhika Raman, and, you know, preaching the glories of the Lord. So yes, definitely it is said that the desire of the living entity starts getting transformed from these short-term or long-term material desires to having spiritual desires. And this happens after they meet the representatives of the Lord who advertise about the process of bhakti. And this is exactly we see in the example of Dhruva Maharaj, how Dhruva Maharaj also wanted a kingdom larger than his father. And in pursuit of making that, making that endeavor, he meets Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, by the blessings of Narada Muni, instructions of Narada Muni, Dhruva Maharaj actually, you know, he upgrades his desire, and he admits that, you know, after having received the beautiful process of devotion, the beautiful, after having seen the beautiful form of the Lord, you know, I find my previous desires to be like broken pieces of glass. He had been just wanting a kingdom, but then after he had the association of the Lord and his devotees, he could actually feel the futility of the desires that he had used to have previously. But then, and same has been the case for most of us. For most of us, we also came in contact with the devotees. We also came in contact with Srila Prabhupada books, and, you know, saw the beautiful atmosphere of some temple, or, you know, interacted with some devotees, or read some books. And that is how we also, you know, upgraded our desire. But then, is that momentary upgradation sufficient for us to reach the destination. Here we are discussing the endeavor to reach that destination of being firmly fixed in, you know, the ultimate objective of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So yes, our desires also had got transformed at some point of time through some interaction, but then it is not sufficient. That momentary upgradation may not be sufficient, because, you know, when the fire of reality hits, when the fire of, you know, actual circumstances hits us, maybe that desire may get washed out. And therefore, and we find for this reason, many times devotees, they have this typical question that, you know, when we come in the association of devotees, we become so enthusiastic, we go on yatra, or, you know, we come to the temple, you know, dance in the kirtan, and there is so much of enthusiasm. But as soon as we go out and mix with our office colleagues and, you know, interact with the outside world, why is it that the enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness, you know, maybe starts stepping back, or, you know, starts getting dampened? And therefore, we need to understand that what is that spell which will keep this fire of desire to keep serving Krishna, you know, burning. This fire of desire should be burning. Many times, Srila Prabhupada was asked that what is it that will give us success in Krishna consciousness? You know, this particular question was posed to Srila Prabhupada at numerous occasions. And different places, Srila Prabhupada gave different answers. But at one particular place, Prabhupada was very, very clear that if and only if your desire is very, very strong, there is nothing that can prevent you from attaining success in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, developing this desire, keeping this fire of desire alive, it's not an automatic process. It's an explicit activity, you know, that we need to do at regular intervals. We need to check. We need to, you know, have a check of our own desires, that is my desire to flourish and grow in Krishna consciousness still ablaze? Is that fire of desire still ablaze? And many times, being busy in our daily activities, we may forget to, you know, put the proper fuel in that desire. And therefore, as foolish as it may sound, that we need to pause. At times, we need to take time out of our busy lifestyles, of our numerous commitments, and, you know, give some time to think and strengthen this desire of attaining success in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, it is said that only if the desire is strong will we keep seeking direction and keep making that determined endeavor. So in order to reach the perfect destination, a strong desire is a must, because unless and until the desire is strong, we won't even seek direction and we won't make that determined effort. So now the question is, how do we strengthen that desire at periodic intervals? In the Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter, Krishna explains the origin of desire. How is it that desires, they originate? So he is speaking in a perverted sense to Arjuna, and he's replying to the question of Arjuna that, you know, how is it that, you know, lust develops? So he's saying, dhyayato vishayana pumsam sangasteshu upajayate sangat sanjayate kamat. So he's saying, by contemplation on material sense objects, that attachment develops. Dhyayato vishayana pumsam sangasteshu upajayate. That attachment further leads to kama, or desire, material desire to enjoy. Now, if we, you know, see the perverted reflection of this particular sequence, we find it holds very much true even in the spiritual sense. If there is a strong contemplation on Krishna conscious activities, if there is a strong, you know, meditation on Krishna conscious experiences, that contemplation leads to attachment. Yes, I have had a good experience of Krishna consciousness, and therefore let me once again endeavor to get more of it. And that attachment leads to, you know, this desire to, you know, learn more, this desire to serve more, this desire to, you know, hear more and grow more in Krishna consciousness. So yes, basically I just want to highlight there are these three things. If we can just keep in mind these three things, we will definitely be able to maintain that fire of desire to flourish in Krishna consciousness very, very ablaze. The very first thing is our recorded experiences of Krishna consciousness. Each of us have had experiences of Krishna consciousness which we cherish deep within our hearts. Experiences of, you know, attending some satsang programs, attending some kirtans, some yatras, you know, maybe even, of course, experiences having prasad or, you know, some deity worship, some preaching services, so many other services. Each of us have had that experience of some past Krishna consciousness which we relish deep within our hearts. So it is said that experiences of past sense gratification become a cause of difficulty in our spiritual life. But experiences of Krishna consciousness become a cause of consistency in spiritual life. And therefore, a mission of a devotee should be to bombard his or her life with rich spiritual experiences of Krishna consciousness in their own lives. And therefore, you know, if we manage to gather as many Krishna conscious experiences, these Krishna conscious experiences will serve as a fuel for us. And mind you, let's not just keep it to the mind. If we can also record our experiences, if we can jot them in writing, if we can, you know, make a list of, you know, what are those experiences that I've had, the highs in our Krishna consciousness, as they call it, you know, if we can have those experiences in a written format, in a recorded format, you know, these assets will actually help us, will actually nourish us when, you know, things go dry and or when, you know, we go through difficult times. It is these recorded experiences of Krishna consciousness which come as testimonials to help us and strengthen that desire to flourish in Krishna consciousness. So yes, the very first thing that will help us strengthen our desire to flourish in Krishna consciousness is our recorded Krishna conscious experiences. The second aspect which will help flourish that desire or which will keep that fire of desire ablaze is a regular hearing of Krishna's beautiful Nama, Rupa, Guna and Leela. Because Krishna's Nama, Rupa, Guna and Leela, they are transcendental. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vyati tattvatah tektva deham punar janma naiti mameti so Arjuna. That anyone who contemplates, anyone who So Krishna mentions in the Gita that anyone who understands the nature of my birth and my activities, you know, does not take birth once again in this material world. So yes, the nature of Krishna's birth and activities, they are divya, they are transcendental in nature. And therefore, these transcendental narrations of Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes, they have that potency to reignite the fire of desire to serve Krishna. As of now, being in the material world for many, many lifetimes, the conditioned soul has practically lost his desire to serve Krishna. But just upon hearing about Krishna, you know, just hearing about Krishna's names, hearing about Krishna's qualities, hearing about Krishna's pastimes, these narrations have that spiritual potency. And these narrations act as that spiritual fuel, which once again invigorates the fire of desire to serve Krishna. So yes, the first thing that will help us maintain our desire is our recorded experiences of Krishna consciousness in our own lives. The second thing is regular hearing of the narrations of Krishna's names, qualities, form and pastimes. And the third thing is periodic reflection on the miserable nature of this material world, because it is only on a dark surface that we can appreciate the shine of a diamond. The narration of Krishna's pastimes is like a brilliantly effulgent diamond. But then if that diamond is just kept on a very bright surface, it's very difficult to appreciate the brightness of the diamond. But then if we can also reflect on the miserable nature of this material life, how this material life, is consisting of, all these sevenfold miseries, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidaivika, klesha, how these three kleshas are present perennially in this material creation. And if there is a strong reflection on the miserable nature of material life, that reflection will also give us our impetus. That reflection will give us that impetus that, yes, let me, get rid of this material life and let me just get, absorb myself in the association of devotees in wanting to serve Krishna. So therefore it is said that this desire is actually an inner resolve to learn more about Krishna consciousness and to serve more in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, the very first thing, like we discussed, is our strong desire, which is regularly fueled by these three things, our recorded experiences of Krishna consciousness, repeated hearing of the narrations of Krishna's Nama, Roop, Guna and Leela, and reflection on the miserable nature of the material life. So if that desire for Krishna consciousness is strong enough, naturally we will reach to that stage of always wanting to serve Krishna, the most perfect destination. And at the same time, we'll know that, challenges are going to be there. Just because the desire is strong doesn't mean that the challenges won't be there. Yes, the challenges will be there to dampen our desire. And therefore, what do we need to do is, along with having that desire, there is a need for direction. Here we find in this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Narad Muni is giving direction to King Prachini Bharishad. He is finding King Prachini Bharishad very much engrossed in performance of fruitive activities. And out of his compassion, Narad Muni has appeared before him. And Narad Muni is wanting to upgrade that desire of King Prachini Bharishad. And he has described the allegorical analogy of Puranjan, who had been absorbed in material desires. And in doing so, he actually made King Prachini Bharishad realize his position. He actually helped King Prachini Bharishad understand, the position of the quality of his own desires. So yes, it is only by direction that the desires actually get purified and the desires are dovetailed in the right direction. So similarly, there is a need for direction for all of us. The verse describes that how these stops of the living entities, this journey in this material world, are very much different. The, people who are in the mode of goodness, they are promoted to the upper planetary systems. People who are in the mode of passion, are in the Bhurloka and Bhuvarloka, and people who are in the mode of ignorance, they are put to the hellish planetary systems. So all these different junctions, all these different stops in the material world, in the journey of the living entity, is being described here in this particular verse. And it's not a pleasurable journey. And it is for this reason that the Vedas, they hint at getting out of this enjoying mentality, getting out of this desire to be wanting to seek pleasure in all the 14 planetary systems. It just doesn't exist. And therefore, it is said that if we are aware of the reality of the place that we live in, or as they say, if we know the laws of the land, if one is aware of the laws of the land, naturally, one will be cautious and one will be taking his steps in an intelligent manner. So there are these two aspects of direction. First, we discuss the importance of having a very strong desire in Krishna consciousness. The next thing is about having proper direction. And this direction is actually twofold. The very first aspect of this direction is knowing the right path in which I should be moving. You know, just like this verse is describing about someone who is acting in the mode of goodness will be promoted to that particular place. Someone who is acting in the mode of passion. So yes, knowing the right path, what is the most perfect path that we should be working on so that we reach the ultimate destination. And the second aspect of direction is help in overcoming the hurdles that we may face in our endeavor to keep moving ahead. And therefore it is said, you know, that these laws of the land that we were talking about, this is what is known as the absolute truth. You know, this absolute truth, I was very much intrigued about, you know, what is this word, absolute truth? You know, we had never heard this word before, the absolute truth. But then, you know, understanding about and studying things in detail, we could understand this absolute truth is something which holds true in all time, places and circumstances. And this absolute truth is provided by the medium of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. That where will the action in different modes lead us to? Something similar to the verse that we are reading, something similar verse is present in the Bhagavad Gita as well. This is from the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which says, Urdhvam gacchanti sattvastha madhye tishtanti rajasah jaghanya guna vrittistha adho gacchanti tamasah. Now, the similar verse speaks about, yes, where will you reach if you act in a particular manner? A very similar analogy can be drawn from the life of a student. You know, when a student is about to pass from his school, just before appearing for the final exams or the board exams of the school, the different options are presented by an expert or, you know, the experienced teacher. The experienced teacher actually helps the student understand that what are the different options that will be present before you depending on how you perform in the examination. If you secure these many marks, you know, these are the kind of institutes that you will be able to get admission into. If you secure, you know, these marks in this particular range, maybe you could get admission to, you know, these institutes, so on and so forth. So similarly here, these sections of the Vedas, they help the living entity understand that how to evaluate one's own activities, how to evaluate, you know, the quality of one's activity, so that you reach the most perfect destination. So the 15th chapter of the Gita explains, Na rupam asyeha tathopalabhyate nanto nacha adir nacha sampratishtha ashvattham enam suvirudha mulam asanga shastrena brihena chitva. The Gita mentions one has to search out the origin of this tree, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through the association of persons who are in knowledge of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. So yes, there are different, you know, destinations, there are different modes at work in this material creation, and there is this entire material creation that has been formed as a result of combination of these three modes of material nature. And therefore, this 15th chapter of the Gita actually propels us to search out the origin of this tree. Further, it says, then by proper understanding, one becomes gradually detached from this false reflection of reality. And by knowledge, one can cut off the connection and actually become situated in the real tree. The word asanga is very important in this connection. Because the attachment for sense enjoyment and lording it over the material nature is very strong. Therefore, one must learn detachment by discussion of spiritual science based on authoritative scriptures, and one must hear from persons who are actually in knowledge. It is said that on one's own endeavor, just by one's own endeavor, it is just difficult to get out from the clutches of the three modes of material nature, which actually forms the basic fabric of this entire material creation. And therefore, in order to, you know, get out of this entanglement of the modes of nature, you know, asanga shastrena dridhena chitva, the Gita advises us to just cut off this entire, you know, fabric of the modes of material nature with the weapon of detachment. And how this weapon of detachment comes about is by gaining knowledge or gaining direction from the spiritual master, from the experienced past spiritual teachers, the acharyas, and the contemporary learned people. So yes, from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, we also understand what true knowledge is. What is that absolute truth which will take us to the most perfect destination? What is it that will actually help us to, you know, move fast in the perfect direction? And therefore it is said that Krishna, along with creating this entire material creation for us to fulfill our material desires, he has also provided these helplines to us. In India, we have this famous television show, Kaun Banega Karodpati. And this particular show is like, people all over, they know, it's being hosted by one of the big superstars, Amitabh Bachchanji. And, it's like a round of questions that is asked, and people keep getting more and more money. So, and when a person is unable to reply to any particular question at a particular stage, he is given what is known as helplines. You know, in this particular show, there are these three helplines that is given to the, you know, participant if he gets stuck up at certain stage. The three helplines, one of the helplines is known as 50-50. Out of the four options that are presented to him for the question, he can ask for removing two of the options. So that is how he gets, you know, to choose between the left two options. So that is a helpline that is provided. Another helpline that is provided to a person is phoning a friend. Ask one of your friends whom you think might know the answer. And the third is ask your audience who is seated out here. You know, take the audience poll. So similarly, even in the aspect of Krishna consciousness, Krishna has provided us these helplines. He has provided that innate discrimination, that innate intelligence by which we can discriminate, you know, whether something is going to be helpful in our material, is going to just provide us material benefit, or does it also provide some spiritual benefit? So yes, we can evaluate. So that is around 50-50. That is like we can also, you know, ascertain whether it's just purely some material benefit, some endeavor that we might be making, or will this particular endeavor fetch for me spiritual benefits? And then, you know, when we get stuck up in our process of growing in Krishna consciousness, executing the process of devotional service, we also have this helpline of phone a friend. We have the spiritual master, the guru. We may have, you know, so many devotees, counselors, mentors, guide, some friend, you know, just like the shastras, they advise, guyam akhyati prichati. You know, if you are stuck up, just pour out your heart to some person whom you feel will provide me proper solution. So yes, that phone a friend helpline is also available to us. And of course, the audience poll is there. The association of devotees is there, you know, whom we can consult, whom we can resort to. Am I proceeding in the right direction? Is my direction of Krishna consciousness proper? And therefore it is said that yes, Krishna has given a lot of channels. Krishna has given these the medium of the devotees, Krishna has given the medium of the spiritual master, the acharyas, the spiritual the literatures. The question is, are we willing to seek that help? The helplines might be there, but if the participant doesn't want to make use of the helpline, you know, the point is lost. So therefore, yes, we definitely have to strengthen our desire, but along with strengthening our desire, we should also, you know, take proper direction. How taking a proper direction will actually take us in the right direction. And yes, just having a desire and just having direction doesn't suffice. We need to put in a sustained endeavor. And that is the third aspect, the third factor which determines whether we reach the most perfect destination. And this factor is the factor of putting in determined effort. In the Subhashita, which is a collection of different beautiful Sanskrit verses from different literatures, there is this beautiful verse which says, Udyamena hi siddhyanti karyani na manorathe na hi suptasya simhasya pravishanti mukhe mrigaha. Udyamena hi siddhyanti. Udyam refers to that determined endeavor. Siddhyanti means achieving success. Udyamena hi siddhyanti. Only by putting in a sufficient amount of sustained, determined effort will we achieve success. Udyamena hi siddhyanti karyani na manorathe. Just by thinking about, you know, or just by wondering about success, we won't get success. Just like nahi suptasya singhasya pravishanti mukhe mraga. Just like a deer doesn't automatically get into the mouth of a sleeping lion. It is said that even tigers and lions, they have to chase many, many deers for an entire week before they actually manage to catch a prey. Because, yes, the nature has provided these carnivorous animals with a very strong body to, you know, pounce upon the prey and, you know, just finish it off. But similarly, the nation has also provided the prey the capability to run away from the predator. And therefore, you know, just desire is insufficient. There has to be a directed and determined endeavor to fetch a success. Yes, this desire will act as a fuel and the direction will act as a dashboard, showing us our present location and helping us, giving us future directions, how to keep moving ahead. In this particular purport of the verse we are reading today, there is this beautiful line which says, at the present moment, the human society is overly influenced by the mode of passion, and consequently, people are engaged in working in big factories. They forget how distressful it is to live in such places. Yes. At the present moment, we see, you know, all around us, the world is predominated by ignorance and passion today. People, they don't want to put in that determined effort to move on to the spiritual or fetch these spiritual benefits for themselves. Yes, there is this hedonistic drive to keep fetching, to keep working more and more, to fetch more and more material sense objects. And therefore, as devotees, as spiritual practitioners, we need to put in a determined effort. We need to understand that the tide, that the world that we live in is not very congenial for us to grow in spiritual life. It is like swimming upstream. If we are swimming downstream, it is very easy. So just going by the ways of the world, it may be very easy to just keep flowing with the tide. But then, if we want to swim upstream, it requires much more endeavor. And therefore, and this endeavor, this particular verse also mentions that this endeavor in the ultimate sense shouldn't we just to raise ourselves from the mode of passion and ignorance, but also to lift us from the mode of goodness as well? Because this is what Krishna is speaking to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. He's saying, in the second chapter, 14th verse, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna Nirdvando Nitya Sattvastho Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. And in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a very elaborate purport. We'll just look at a small paragraph where Prabhupada says, all the living entities who are in the material world are struggling very hard for existence. For them, the Lord, after creation of the material world, gave the Vedic wisdom advising how to live and get rid of the material entanglement. When the activities of sense gratification, namely the Karma Kanda chapter, are finished, then the chance for spiritual realization is offered in the form of Upanishads, which are part of different Vedas, as the Bhagavad Gita is a part of the fifth Veda, namely the Mahabharata. The Upanishads mark the beginning of transcendental life. So yes, this Bhagavad Gita, which is the Gita Upanishad, is actually higher than the platform of the Vedas, the four Vedas, which typically deal with dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, and deal with, you know, purifying one's activities from the lower modes of passion and ignorance. But then, in the ultimate sense, higher than the Vedas are the teachings of the Upanishads. And Bhagavad Gita, one of the greatest Upanishads, the Gita Upanishad, actually advises us that how, you know, one has to not just raise himself from passion and ignorance, but he has to give up, he has to aspire and endeavor to give up the entire entanglement of the three modes of material nature. Yes, you know, just like we were discussing, this material world is made up of, this prison of the material world is made up of the shackles of these three modes of material nature. And therefore, these shackles are very difficult to break. But then, with a sustained and determined effort in Krishna consciousness, naturally, Krishna also helps his devotee to grow in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is this beautiful episode of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, who wants to see and who wants to have darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he refuses to give his audience to Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he is so determined. He is so consistent and so determined in having the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is explained that he approaches Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he, you know, explains about the king. He glorifies the king before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, you know, still Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that, you know, for a person who is absorbed in material life, I don't want to see his face. And when Pratap Rudra Maharaj, he hears this from Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he says that, you know, if I'm not going to have the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then there is no use of being in this body. So it is better to give up this body than to live without having the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is surprised with this determination of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. He says, Eta shuni sarvabhoma hoila chintita, Rajara anuraga dekhi hoilo vismita. He says, hearing King Pratap Rudra's determination, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya became thoughtful. Indeed, he was very much astonished to see the king's determination. And we read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that how it was because of this sincere desire and determined endeavor of Maharaj Pratap Rudra that ultimately he actually gets the chance to not only have darshan, but also serve the physical form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Jagannath Vallabh Garden after the performance of Rath Yatra. And therefore, yes, it is this determined endeavor that actually makes a person great. It is not the desire, it is not the helplines, the direction that is available, but the endeavor that is put in by the sadhaka that makes him great in Krishna's eyes. Krishna describes in the 9th chapter of Gita the symptoms, the 4 symptoms of a great person. What is it that makes a Mahatma a great person? He says a Mahatma does 4 things. A great person in Krishna's eyes does 4 things. He always chants my glories. Satatam kirtayanto mam. He endeavors with determination. Yatantascha dridhavratah. He offers obeisances. Namasyantas tu mam bhaktya. He offers his obeisances with a lot of devotion. Mam bhaktya. And he perpetually worships me with devotion. Nitya yukta upasate. Yes, chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord, endeavoring with determination to grow in Krishna consciousness, offering his obeisances with devotion, and perpetually worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These 4 activities makes a person great in the eyes of the Supreme Lord. And, you know, if a person actually does these 4 activities, if there is strong endeavor with determination, that determined endeavor that is put in, definitely one becomes noteworthy, one becomes attractive in the eyes of the Supreme Lord. So we find from these scriptures, from these descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam, how through different ways and means, these pieces of literatures, they encourage us to understand our situation and to improve our situation so that we move and ultimately reach the perfect destination. So yes, we discussed about the 3 factors which help us reach the most perfect destination. The factor of repeatedly strengthening our desire, the factor of intently seeking perfect direction from learned sources, and putting in that determined endeavor. If we manage to have these 3 factors very much in place, naturally we will reach that supreme destination. Na tad bhasyate suryo, na shashanko na pavakah, yad gatva na nivartante, tad dhamam paramam mamam. And just to conclude, it's not about the physical destination, but it is the destination of having that pure consciousness where there is a permanent desire, where there is a unflinching desire to keep serving the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So with those words, I'll end up here. Thank you all very much once again for being with us today and giving me this opportunity to serve all of you. Jai Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana Ki, Jai His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki, Jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for very nectarian class. I would like to request all the devotees, if they have any questions or realizations, they can please go ahead. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all Guru, Rishti Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the beautiful, beautiful class. So, in this purport, it says like who are in mood of goodness, they go to higher lokas like Satya Loka, Tapa Loka, and Janaloka, like that. So devotees are always like mostly in the mode of goodness only, and like higher than goodness. But what if they go there? Is there any chance?
Can you come again once again, Mati? I missed your question.
Means, is there any chance that devotees go in the higher planets?
When we take the term devotee, it's actually a very broad term. And when we hear the word devotee from the Shastras, when the Shastras speak about the term devotee, it actually refers to pure devotees. And definitely the desire, definitely the destination of pure devotees is not any destination in this material world. But then, like talking about, I mean, at least for me, where we have kind of mixed desires, we don't have, as of now, we don't have that pure desire of serving Krishna. Our desires are also very much mixed with the different modes of material nature. If and only if we can get rid of, we can entirely get rid of the modes of goodness, modes of passion and ignorance, yes, definitely we'll be transported to that eternal abode, that perfect destination. But then this is kind of an impetus for us to keep working. If we just become complacent, thinking that, you know, now that I have become a devotee, you know, just I mean, at least for myself, it's not the external attire or it's not the physical presence that actually makes me a devotee. It is actually, you know, if I look within myself, there is a lot of homework yet to be done. And therefore, the Shastras, these verses, they encourage us that look at your to-do list, man. You know, look at what you still need to do. Else, this is what's going to be your situation. You know, if the aspects of mode of goodness is still stronger in your case, maybe you'll just end up landing in the Janaloka, Sataloka, Tapaloka and things like that. But then, of course, if you find yourself having a lot of, you know, aspects of the mode of ignorance and things, maybe these are the... So basically, all of these purports and all of these verses actually act as impetus for us to keep moving in the right direction. That's my understanding.
So much, Prabhuji. And you were talking about detachment. So, family attachment, which is it comes in the mood of ignorance or something?
This is detachment in the wrong sense. This is detachment. This detachment specifically refers to something that prevents us from serving Krishna, something that prevents us from growing in devotional service. When we talk about, you know, our family responsibilities, you know, it is a part of our devotional service. It is a part of our devotional responsibilities. And therefore, you know, necessarily it doesn't come into the category of, you know, attachment, that sort of. And therefore, many times people misunderstand detachment as giving up, you know, physical things which may not appear as Krishna conscious. No, Krishna consciousness is not about the physical things that are present before us. You know, Krishna consciousness is an inner state of being. How is it? What is my intent of, you know, serving the people around me? Even if, like, if I am, like, you know, serving a group of people who may be new to Krishna consciousness, you know, there is that attachment to Krishna consciousness. That service is what determines whether one should be, you know, attached or detached that way. So definitely many times people ask this question, you know, family attachment, whether it is, you know, wrong or bad. My people are not devoted. Sometimes the family members may not be practicing Krishna consciousness. But then we do have a relationship with them. We do have a responsibility of serving them. And that gets included in our devotional responsibility as well. That's my understanding.
Thank you, Prabhu. And I have one more question. Like, when we have attachment with family, but, you know, at the same time, whatever we do, services we do with family, but still we keep on thinking about them. When we do service for Krishna, when we do chanting, we think about family instead of we are doing something for family, we should think about Krishna. it should be like that, but it's exactly opposite, and it's very hard to get rid of it. Like, you know, I don't want to think now, I don't want to think, but still that thoughts come in the mind. So how to become attached to Krishna instead of family?
Mati, again, like, just to reiterate what I mentioned, that this attachment to serving Krishna also encapsulates, also like includes the service that we render to Krishna's devotees, the service that has been entrusted to us by Krishna himself, you know, by the arrangement of nature, by the arrangement of providence, you know, a group of souls, they come together as family. And it is expected that, you know, there is a mutual loving service that is rendered by the different family members to one another. And where there is this beautiful, you know, service attitude that is present, I think that also pleases Krishna. So serving Krishna does not necessarily mean, you know, just being with our bead bags 24/7. Serving Krishna is a very broad kind of responsibility, which also, experienced people who understand the meaning of serving Krishna, you know, they expand their responsibilities, their spiritual responsibilities from their own personal sadhana to the personal, you know, to the service that is required to be rendered to one's family, a service that is required to be rendered to one's, say, job responsibilities, official responsibilities, responsibilities towards one's own health. So actually, devotional service is a very broad understanding. So in my understanding, serving Krishna may not necessarily mean, you know, just being before the deity and, you know, just praying to the deity or serving the deity. We also need to see the hand of Krishna that is present in the world around us, and wanting to please Krishna by understanding this broad responsibilities and seeking guidance, taking direction if we find ourselves kind of difficult to keep or understand these things, that broader perspective we are talking about. But then, definitely when we talk about serving our families, that is a very, very integral part of devotional service as well. And we find this in the example of so many acharyas. We find from the example of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, yes, he was a great devotee, a great acharya, exalted personality. But at the same time, you know, he took great care of all of his family members. And many times we don't even hear. We just know about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but he had so many other children, many of whom they're devotees, and many of whom they're, you know, probably very exalted personalities. But then we hear the example of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that how he catered to his responsibilities, his devotional responsibilities, his professional responsibilities, his familial responsibilities, his physical responsibilities. We read the schedule of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the book, The Seventh Goswami. It's a beautiful schedule that he used to follow all through the day. So yes, he took care of all of these multifaceted responsibilities in an exemplary manner, which makes him an acharya. And if we look at the examples of such acharyas, we will definitely be able to understand that Krishna consciousness or devotional service doesn't just mean our devotional responsibility, not just our particular sadhana. Yes, sadhana is definitely there, but along with sadhana, you know, there are all these different aspects that we just talked about, which also form a very strong part of our, you know, Krishna conscious responsibility.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Very nice.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very, very nicely you have explained everything and presented the nice examples also from the scripture and acharya. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. Very, very beautiful class for me. I really like the points that you are telling about our sadhanas recording. So that may help us to encourage ourselves when we are in the low time. So true, Prabhu, that really encourages, especially for me. When you are telling, I feel it's that's how it's helping me. That's how motivating me to do every day my sadhana, especially when I'm in low time. I check myself, these days I did, why not I'm going to do tomorrow also. It's kind of, you know, that is going to give us strength, self-motivated. So always the devotees will not be there to motivate us, so we should only motivate ourselves. That's really very helpful, Prabhu. Thank you so much for that. And the other points that you shared was so nice, Prabhu. Thank you so much. And also hearing makes make us so eager in our Krishna consciousness, always fired up in Krishna consciousness. That also really, you know, we could see that as we daily attend these classes, which makes us encouragement to do our sadhana every day. Like every day, every speaker comes and says, okay, we have to be here. We have to practice Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, again, you have to suffer. So these kind of words every day, if you hear, that encourages us to continue in our spiritual life with the same spirit. Really, thank you so much, Prabhu, for putting these points, which really helps us. Hare Krishna.
Thanks for your encouraging words.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Very nice class. But Prabhu, one thing I found very difficult to practice is the detachment part and the connection, you said. Knowledge and detachment. Now, to attain knowledge is not easy. And by the time you attain knowledge and you realize that there's very little left for detachment.
In one sense, what you're speaking is definitely true. But we need to remind ourselves, Mataji, that Srila Prabhupada, he gave us this process of Krishna consciousness. This bhakti is a process. It's not a product. Now, when we talk of a product is achieved when we actually, get like when we go on to a mart or when we go to a store to buy some product, we need to have a certain amount of, Lakshmi with us. We need to have a certain amount of money with us. Only if we have that certain amount of money can we get hold of that product. But when we talk about Krishna consciousness is a process. We get some knowledge, we get, some amount of attraction for Krishna, we start serving Krishna, we start our sadhana, we start associating with devotees. And then, in the association of devotees, we know a little more and we start serving a little more. And that is how we start developing a little more detachment from our material desires. So when we talk about the process, it is a gradual, uplifting that we experience in our journey towards perfection. So therefore, there is no need to feel that, only if I become, very well-versed, only if I am able to memorize at least 650 of the 700 verses of the Gita, only then will I develop, will be able to, develop detachment for the material world. Till then, it's a failure. That's not how it is, because depending on our experience, depending on whatever we have been hearing, depending on whatever we have been learning in Krishna consciousness, even at any stage, if we look back, we'll find that there has been a difference. There has been, a certain amount of things that we now feel distasteful. We don't feel, so much enthusiastic about, just having anything and everything when it comes to eating, just going anywhere and, for any amount of time when it comes to, traveling. No, we have priorities in place. So yes, even for a small beginner, even from the very beginning, Krishna starts giving us the intelligence, and Krishna starts giving us that taste by which we are able to relinquish, you know, the taste for material enjoyment to whatever degree. So it's a process. It's a process. And therefore, what I feel that if we don't consider Krishna consciousness as a product, that only if, you know, I achieve knowledge, you know, only if I become well versed in the Vedas, you know, till then everything is a waste. That's not maybe the right understanding. Does that help you with the question, Mataji?
Yes, yes, Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Do we have any more questions, or we can end the call?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your time and association. Very beautiful class indeed. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your very enlightening class. And we are very grateful to you. If nobody have any questions, we can end the call here. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas in the call. Vancha kalpatarupyasya krupa sindhubhya evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Very nice.